You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Kids, do you like professional wrestling? Well, we like professional wrestling too. This is Shake Them Ropes, pre-Christmas edition, sort of. I'm Jeff Hawkins. He is Chris Novembrino. And Chris, earlier today, someone tweeted out the 2022 version of the Japanese luck calendar has come out. And the closer your birthday is to number one, the luckier you are, the closer it is to 365, the more unlucky you are. I am a man who believes in luck because brains and hard work have done nothing for me. 365, baby.
Yeah, I'm coming in at 361 myself. Yeah.
We should just give it up now. Just leave this on the heels of a week. Chris, I went in, I was getting my raise and my bonus. Thank me for a year of hard work. 0.95% raise. Wouldn't even give me the one. Would not even round it up to one because they wanted the round number. And I just go, and they had the temerity to go, because all I said going in, because after I don't know if I brought this up on air, first bad review of my working professional career, which probably shouldn't have happened, but I go in and I'm just getting, look, all I'm going to do is say thanks. Bonus was, you know, standard raise, little sub. I just say thanks. Don't put any English on it. Don't put good thanks, whatever. Well, you sound sad. You sound disappointed. You should be happy that you got anything. And I'm just like, is this really happening to me right now? You're saying thank you for all your hard work. And also that I'm ungrateful. For 0.95% raise.
Yeah, that's.
So this unlucky.
I mean,
thing
the running. I've gotten one of those raises, Hawkins. We've talked about this years ago. I got one of those raises, and that was very much we'd like you to leave, Chris. Sort
made
of
it
raise.
A point to tell me, you know, you're on the upper end of the salary scale for your position. And until you get more senior or whatever, you're not going to get a raise, probably. I'm just like, if this is a budget thing, just be honest with me and say, I make too much money because I live in LA and I negotiated well. So, you know, because, you know, jobs out here tend to pay a little bit more so that people can actually live. But I was like, I hung up the phone. Or the Zoom call or whatever the hell it was. And I just kind of stared for a moment. I go, did that actually just happen? Did they actually just say that I should have thanked them for less than 1%? Just,
I was reading in the news this week. Someone up there in DC was saying that they're handing out big raises. This must be those big raises I was reading about.
Oh, you mean in the government?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, they're saying big races are coming out all across America. This must be what I was reading about.
Yeah, huge. Would have rather gotten. I think the Jelly of the Month Club would have probably been worth more than because they show it to me. It's like, okay, that's pretty much the cost of internet every month. Okay, great. I can handle that. I don't know. Okay, so programming note. Next week, no live show. If there's news, I'll come on. I'll record, I don't know, 15, 20, give you the news, give a breakdown, maybe bring in Chris if he has time. I think I'm going to re-release something from the Patreon. Now, if you kids are good, you might get Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman, or you might get Hakushi and Muda. Don't know which one yet. If you're bad, you get 3 episodes of High Wattage. And that'll be your lump of coal in the stocking. Actually, I was thinking about just releasing High Wattage just for the laughs, because I don't think I've ever really listened to all the shows.
Lanza said that it couldn't be done. I think it needs to be done. Like, Lanza forbade it. He said it was verboten. Rich Krage also, he said this should never, no one should ever hear this ever, so.
Did he?
No.
Okay, just checking to see.
That never happened.
Know.
It's a 50-50. I think Lanza liked the premise of the show. I don't know if he ever listened to the execution of it.
Oh, no. I don't think he was ever a member of our Patreon. y'all should pay for our Patreon, but... Oh, starting off with the news. Kevin Owens has re-signed a deal. Apparently also Sami Zayn, possibly also re-upping with WWE. KO's deal, multi-year, allegedly. Both men's deals were set to expire in early 2022, and since there was a belief that they'd be open to negotiations from AEW. But reports from those close to the situation, this is Dave Meltzer I'm reading, so you can assume this is Pat LaPrade feeding him this info. Banked Owens as having signed a 3-year deal at a price point high enough that AEW would not be willing to match those figures. Figures being passed around within were high enough that was major talk in the industry at how high WWE would go to keep him. Although one WWE source said the figures were in line with what someone at his level would be making. The reports were that he did not get a no cut clause in that contract. And that is probably around $2 to $3 million a year. But with the merchandise, that's pretty good. Now, here's the weird thing in Dave's story about it. And this is what I wanted to get your reaction from. It's in line with what I heard said a key player in the organization. Don't know who it is. I could speculate, but I won't right now unless I was sure. But someone in his position who can come in and out of the main events, upper mid card, will make that level at this time. But he won't get the 90-day clause waived. He wasn't going to get more money. The $2 to $3 million a year range is so blinding to people. They sign, not realizing it's a 90-day contract that renews every day at WWE's sole discretion. It's how they quote unquote got Wyndham Rotunda. He was going to get $3 million for 3 years. They went to a 5-year term he held. They inched up towards 4. He jumped at it, but it's still a 90-day contract. And with the higher number, it takes less and less to trigger the release, even though that there were things in Wyndham Rotunda's situation that were far different here. Now, the cynicism of that is what gets me, Chris, because I was always of the opinion that KO was going to re-sign with WWE. He just hearing his stories of his childhood and how much he loved the company.
And his kid loved the company. Yes. And, you know, they treat him pretty well coming
yes,
in.
He
had a match with John Cena where he won.
There are escalations in contracts the longer you stay with WWE. And if you get one of the world titles, which he has, you are automatically upgraded to first class travel every time you go somewhere, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think WWE is pretty much going to keep him in the, he's going to fall from high places as long as he can. I think he's going to be that guy who's the champion when they bring up a Braun Breaker, who's going to drop the fall to Braun Breaker and give him the title. But I don't fault either him or Zayn, who is making chicken salad out of chicken poo with his gimmick, too. AEW is nice for a lot of people. And we as fans, we watch this like a player who's on a bad franchise but is really good. And we just want to see that. We want to see them win the championship somewhere. We want to see them thrive somewhere as opposed to being part of, say, the Cincinnati Bengals, which I am a fan of. But, you know, it's one of those things where we watch that. But if you have a comfortable existence in this company and you can get money, and hey, if they're just going to cut you anyways after the big contract, I understood the people complaining in the Twitterverse and things like that. But I always thought that this was going to be the route, at least for KO. I thought Zane might leave, but I thought KO was going to stick around.
Yeah, I think, again, you just watch the 2 hours of Dynamite and you go, how many minutes are there for a guy like Kevin Owens? How many minutes are there for a guy like Sami Zayn, and where would they slot in?
KO would be top. KO would be with the Elite and things like that.
Yes, I think so. And I could see Zayn getting some time too. Yeah. Owens would probably be just fine. I at the end of the day though, it's probably wise for Owens to get the money. I think that black cloud in the article, though, is at least something that should be in the back of Owens' mind.
You think that's a shot across the bow? Do you think that's kind of a hey?
It is editorializing with facts, and it's right. And here's the thing: you obviously see this like in mainstream journalism too, and I think there's a real delicate line between making sure that you present the fullness of the fact set and also presenting the facts in such a way that you're making a point with them as well. And I think this is just over that line in terms of like now, like onto the bad side here.
Yeah.
I think it's worth noting that Owens thinks that he's getting a better deal, or that like on paper this looks like a better deal, but potentially it could not be a better deal.
I think it's all about
the same
merch.
Time, I think when you note that though, you are editorializing in a really strong way. So I think it was a mistake to even include that in the article.
I do too. I just thought that was made his decision, and this almost feels like, oh, you made the wrong. It's almost like Dave almost.
I guess the time where this would have been appropriate to be in the article would have been like before the contract was finished, so that like this is at least something that Steen could consider.
No, I think Steen considered it. I think it's just one of those things.
Well, then it's really sort of pointless.
This is gonna be one of those. I agree.
This is Dave essentially saying, with facts. Well, I think Steen was dumb.
Of your decision.
I disapprove of Steen's decision, and here is why. Because I think WWE is gonna chew him up and spit him out.
Following up from last week, Jeff Hardy announced a meet and greet Jeff Hardy acoustic tour in such toddling towns as Omaha, Nebraska, Fargo, North Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Des Moines, Iowa. It's a tour of the Midwest. And I'm not going to say that maybe they said no to this and that's why he walked, but I'll put it out there. Any reckless speculation you want to do about Jeff Hardy right now?
I hope he gets well, Jeff. I hope that he gets the help that he needs. Drug abuse is serious. There are serious victims of drug. It's not. Here's the thing, Jeff. It's not something to make light of. It's not something to hide behind, Jeff.
I'm going to go to the barren Midwest in the middle of January and December.
And if you have a problem like this, Jeff,
yes.
If you really have a problem like this, Jeff, you should get the help that you need, Jeff.
Oh.
Do you get what I'm saying, Hawkins?
Oh, I teed that one up for nice for you, I think.
Yeah.
The clean-shaven Chris Novembrino. James Guffey, better known as Jimmy Rave, who in recent years had his left arm and both his legs amputated, former Ring of Honor wrestler, passed away on December 12th, just 4 days after his 39th birthday. I don't know if you got this message. I got DM'd by Jimmy when the amputations were started, asking for help with the medical bills and stuff, and I did give albeit anonymously, which is what I do. I never give with my name on there. It's just one of those things. But did not see a lot of Jimmy Rave's work, to be honest with you. It was just a sad story all the way around, though. You're a little younger than me. Were you prone to anything by Jimmy Rave in the ring?
No, I think this might have happened during his sort of peak and his kind of top run was like maybe when I was not watching, okay, which was a good 10-year window or so.
Fair enough. I apologize. I can't expound any further, fans.
I feel bad whenever something like this happens.
I knew who he was. I just had never watched him. It was just one of those things where he was a name that came up, and it's like I said, Ring of Honor is a blind spot in my fandom, and I'll watch some of that during my vacation. Speaking of Ring of Honor, their final battle pay-per-view happening on Saturday. A lot of interesting things for a final show, as if it's going to move on elsewhere. Other people getting gigs out of that. Ian Riccoboni going to be doing some New Japan English commentary. Adam Scher, the former Braun Strowman, showing up to help EC3. They seem to be doing a package deal with them. They might be on their way to Impact. They're trying to angle their way into AEW. Also appearing, FTR, to challenge the Briscoe brothers, who were calling out any tag team there that wanted to take a shot at them. You fans know I'm hyped for this. I want this. I want this in AEW very, very badly, because the Briscoes can cut promos. I am here for this. Did you see anything coming out of a Final Battle, Chris?
I did not see anything coming out of Final Battle other than, some of the headlines and that sort of thing. And okay, I think AEW has done a nice job setting up some potential storylines coming out of Final Battle here, which would be good if the ratings numbers, I think will be good for the hardcore, but, we'll get into the ratings here.
We will, because I didn't write them down.
I thought you were getting into the ratings. That's why you grimaced when I said that.
I could, but
you could. I think we should. I feel like this is sort of we do this. This is like our running bit where
sometimes
you go,
we care about them, sometimes we don't.
No, but then whenever we decide that we care about them, we have to do this little back and forth repartee thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's important this week because here is the top line. Before we even get into the Lazy River, I thought this week's Dynamite was maybe my favorite episode of Dynamite ever.
Outstanding. We'll have things to talk about. Let me get that.
And so I wanted to talk about it in relation to these numbers, because this was just like a sublime show. The numbers don't, I think, necessarily belie that fact.
Renee Paquette has gotten a gig with the NHL Network doing a show with Jackie Redmond called Jack and Pack. Now, Jackie Redmond, if you all don't know that name, also does work for WWE on the Peacock Network. I want to say she's doing one of the Talking Smack or Raw after shows, which I have stopped watching, but I know she does that. And, the weekly talk show will be based around interviewing players and talking about the news. They both know each other from working in Toronto media together. I think that's an outstanding pickup for the NHL. Get a little morning show action talking to players, because God knows they need all the help they can with social media. If you've seen the ratings for the NHL following Dynamite, those aren't good. They are not carrying over that audience at all. Like, everybody's turning off before hockey comes on. It looks to me, and I thought at the time, that it's a bad investment, but they're going to go with it. And that's one of the reasons I believe AEW is moving to TBS. Anyways, moving on. Do you have any strong opinions about Renee Paquette working for the NHL Network?
I think that her experience in WWE might actually be useful in, depending on how much free reign she gets, and getting interesting interviews out of the NHL players.
Well,
now,
she used to do this, I think, in Canadian sports media too, before she went to WWE.
Yeah, I think she's a good interviewer. I think she'll have comfortable repartee with the athletes. Will it move the needle at all for the NHL? Man, I don't think so. It's not a great sign when you're underperforming to the wrestling lead-in.
Ticket information of some relevance. WWE Day 1 on January 1st at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta has shown strong movement over the past week, going from 6,769 tickets out to 8,922. actually this day. That's actually a huge movement for a 7-day period in this day and age. It's currently the hottest ticket the company has on sale other than the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. A sellout for a pro wrestling setup would be $14,700 paid. That being said, WWE is now doing a buy four tickets for the price of three for both nights of WrestleMania. That is a hard sell to get people to go for a full entire weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and go to two arena shows, pay that money, and especially with what looks like, Chris, I mean, as we're watching right now, who knows how the world's going to be when WrestleMania comes up. I can't see a lot of people spending money right now to buy a travel package.
Right. Obviously, we're not going to get it. We're not certified experts to get into a deep talk on Omicron.
No.
But
we had that before the show.
No, we had that. No. We play expert before the show. Suffice it to say, I think there are enough question marks that if you were thinking about $700, especially for a family trip sort of thing right now, you're at least trying to weigh some variables here. I saw this week, again, just one photo. You always got to be a little dubious about these sorts of things. A photo from Raw that seemed where, like, the attendance was maybe a little bit scant at the most recent Raw live event, too. And I think maybe WWE's cage is rattled a little bit in terms of live attendance here. And
ratings, I would say, because that's going think, by lazy river.
And you have to think ratings, right? When I brought up ratings for AEW, it's not like ratings for WWE is any better. I think the news over there, frankly, is worse for what they're doing.
Let's set the table here. Last week, they had one of their lowest ratings ever. I'm looking up the ratings now because I just didn't prepare. I usually have the 3 hours in between. We're recording a little early during SmackDown, so I'm just trying to go to our friend Brandon Thurston's timeline to get those. But yeah, they're not setting the world on fire either.
No, and they've been on a downward trend here over the last. It's just a sustaining downward chart with like little upsies, but like upsies in a way of down.
Raw Monday night, 1,573,000 total viewers, 0.39 in the demo. NXT, 561,000 viewers, 0.13 rating, 176,000 in the demo. Telling you, that's my shot call, is that USA takes this off the air by next year and replaces it with like Law and Order reruns or something. That's what I'm thinking.
When they launched that NXT thing, it was doing 800 something, 900 something. It's down to 500 something. Raw at 1.5. I mean, breaking two is bad. There's not much left to fall.
How dare you scorn breaking two, Electric Boogaloo? No. AEW Dynamite winner is coming. 948,000 total viewers, 0.31, 398,000. And, of course, Tony Khan getting lippy about the Fox News article. If I say, hey, we beat everything on Fox News that night. So,
it's sort of like glass half full, glass half empty sort of thing for AEW. And I would tend to look at it more glass half full, but breaking it down here, the sort of one bad sign is that it just seems like, broadly speaking, wrestling has a hard ceiling.
Yes.
And that ceiling keeps seeming to lower.
Yes.
And
as people get sick of the WWE, they're tuning out of wrestling altogether.
Right. Rather than making the crossover to AEW Dynamite. And I to the people who didn't make that choice this week, boy, did you make a mistake. That was a wonderful show.
That was a wonderful show, which we'll get to.
A wonderful show.
I have one
but,
last
But
tidbit.
It seems like people aren't making that choice, which is the one black cloud on the horizon. That being said, AEW has put themselves at a point where I think, maybe not in the way they would hope, they may very well be in a place where they pass WWE here in the next 2 years.
Oh, I do. I think.
Yeah, I think especially if TNT wanted to do it, if they wanted to go like,
well, now it's right. TBS. TBS is a bigger network, has a bigger range. I think we might see, you know, once people find out where it is, because there's going to be the inevitable dip once they switch stations. Because
once they get that, and if they make that push, I now weirdly think that that is in range. And if when that happens, boy, that's going to be an interesting week on the show here.
Yes, it is. Final news thing is just something that's interesting and a connection I never made, but let's go with this. Dwayne Johnson, aka The Rock, for those of you who don't know, did an Instagram post showing him with Nick Khan, that's WWE's Khan, and Nick's sister, Nanachka Khan, and saying how they were friends in the mid-80s as kids in Honolulu and went to matches together when Leah Maivia promoted Polynesian Pro Wrestling. Nick was a wrestling fan growing up, and all three are roughly the same age. Nanachka Khan, that's a name I knew from Family Guy, by the way, because she used to write over there, is the showrunner for Young Rock. I never put together that that was Nick Khan's sister. Mm. And that is an interesting co-marriage between WWE and The Rock still. I don't expect you to have a lot to say about this. It's just one of those things where it's like, I never put her and Nick Khan together, but boy, that makes a hell of a lot of sense now.
I'm just still getting my mind around the fact that the Scorpion King played The Rock on television.
Oh, that was so good. Nick Khan and Dwayne Johnson, childhood friends. Who knew? So with that, we'll close up the news segment. Give a shout out to our sponsor this week for the last time this year, MyBookie. When it comes to gambling, you always want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. That's why you should bet with MyBookie. Hey, kids. College football bowl season is here. That means there's something to bet on almost every day up until the new year.
But you won't be watching any of that because you'll be watching the WWE pay-per-view.
Well, no, that's on New Year's Day. But all the minor tier bowls, you know, the Weed Whacker Bowl and the Freedom Bowl, and there's some bowl
like Pokemon. You've got to catch them all.
Yes, Virginia is playing in a bowl game in Boston in the middle of December. Who wants to go there? But it's in Fenway, so it might be interesting to look at. But anyways, at MyBookie, you can bet all your favorite sports with exclusive promotions, contests, and more to find your winning bet. And yes, you can bet on day one for the WWE now. I may go get those odds later, but right now when you make your first deposit with MyBookie, you'll instantly receive double your first deposit. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag, sign up, use Chris's promo code ROPES, and MyBookie will double your first deposit instantly up to $1,000. How's that for fast money? If you had listened to me and bet Charles Oliveira in the UFC, you would have made bank, baby. Use your extra funds to bet on this week's biggest games. The Chiefs and the Titans, they've already played. Where the promotion is only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Head to mybookie.ag, use our promo code ROPES, R-O-P-E-S. Yes, I've now taken it away from Chris. And secure double your deposit bonus today. That's promo code ROPES, so you can double your funds to double your winnings. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. With that, the lazy river of wrestling criticism is now open. Anything that you have watched, anything that comes to mind, we'll go over it. It's the holiday season. We got eggnog, bourbon, gingerbread cookies, whatever. But Chris, I have gone first the past couple of weeks. It is your turn, sir.
Oh, let's just go right into it. Bryan Danielson and Adam Page have this just like wonderful match to open up Dynamite. We talked about it, and like this match I enjoyed a lot more than the Omega match. I think in a lot of ways, not to go back to that, God help me, not to go back to it, but I think that in a lot of ways, this was all the other things that the Omega match wasn't for me. So this was like just a superior match. Okay. I thought this had a kind of clear beginning, middle, and end. I've heard people say that this match had no real ending, and like, no, like it obviously like did have an ending. We'll get into like my only quibble with the match here, but like largely speaking, dude, like I thought there was a clear story. I thought the limb work made sense. Danielson was trying to take away the lariat from Adam Page. Page took away the kicks from Danielson. I thought the blood usage was at a real nice point in the match to kind of push it to the next level when it needed that extra juice, literally needed that extra juice, or metaphorically needed that extra juice.
We understand.
Juice. Yes. Either way. I, you know, it's just about that precision of language, man. You know, I try to get it right every time. But it got that extra energy to get the match to the finishing point. I thought it was a judicious usage of high spots. I thought the pacing was good. I just really liked this match, man.
I adored this match as well. I do a Dynamite recap show with hot takes over on Fight Game Media. And my broadcasting partner there says that from now on, now you have to do the world title matches first on a show. I thought it was a brave move to put the world title match first. I think it works out perfectly. And the reason he said that now it has to be on there first is because if you put it on last, you know whether or not it's going the distance or not. And I think that's right. I'm just not sure. A lot of people didn't like the ending of this match. I was perfectly fine with it because I thought the only alternative would be for Danielson to take a powder and to get counted out. Now was not the time for Danielson to get pinned. I liked from
No. So the issue with this match is that he took the clothesline and that it made it he was too vulnerable at the end.
For who? The people that are saying that? No.
Yes.
I think people thought that because this was Adam Page's first big match as champion, he needed the signature win to establish himself as champion because, you know, the old fighter game thing, you're not the champion until you've defended your title at least once successfully. And he did, but he didn't get the win into it. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of, but for me, I can see the gears working in the background, and this finish was a tribute to the ending of Clash of the Champions 1, where Sting has Flair in the Scorpion Deathlock, or I believe, or he's going for the pin as time expires. I couldn't remember which one it is. I should probably look that up. But he almost won, but he didn't, and Flair retained. But in this case, instead, it's Page retains and Danielson doesn't get there. And now what you have is you have a de facto second champion that you can now build against younger baby faces because, hey, Adam Page never beat me.
Oh, no. It goes further. Now Danielson has had this sort of situation happen not once but twice. He had this similar situation happen with Kenny Omega. He's gone the distance with two world champions now. And I mean, the difference here is that he was not in the advantage situation at the end of this 60-minute encounter in the same way that he was, I guess, in the advantage. I mean, this is...
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When I was quibbling about him putting on the yes lock at the end, well after the bell, it would have been better if he had had the yes lock on Omega, especially given this situation now as a juxtaposition to between the two. But in this case, Danielson can now argue that he's gone the distance with two world champions. That, as a babyface or a heel, is true. He can, of course, color this in a heel way to make it seem like I had you right on the ropes. But at the same time, Danielson was rolling into the rope, so it's not like it's not necessary. I mean, like, he was so close to the ropes. Like, if Paige had been able to get to the cover, it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion right. that, you know, Danielson would have been, you know, defeated there. I like the finish to this match. I think the answer here is you don't go back to Danielson for a while. And you sort of like leave that hanging out there. I don't know how you elegantly off ramp that temporarily. But
I do. I'll give it to you now. MJF is the number one contender due to the winning in the Battle Royal. And so Danielson is demanding rematch, and he's not getting it because there's somebody in his way. So for the time being, you have to put him with somebody.
I'll go one step further.
Okay.
You have Pinnacle attack Danielson.
Okay.
Yeah. And that basically gives Danielson something to do.
And that cures the local heel angle he was playing here with him. Let's get to your quibbles, because I have a couple too. But I want you to go first.
I think in this case, the 5-minute mark was very clear, and Danielson's character reaction to the 5-minute mark, I just kind of found weird and unsatisfying. Yes. And inconsistent with Danielson, who we know Bryan Danielson to be as a character, like his level of cerebralness, and most importantly in all of this, the fact that he has been there before, and that the whole reason he's having to go through this 55 minutes of BS with Adam Page right now is because last time he made a mistake in the final 5 minutes. Yes. Here and didn't finish the game soon enough. So it should have been an overdrive situation for Danielson.
The sense of urgency was not there in the final five, and it should have been.
And I would have had that backfire on Danielson leading into the Buckshot Lariat. Essentially, Danielson this time around sort of is fighting the last war, where he's so desperate to close the gap here and close the match and make sure he wins that he leaves himself open for the Buckshot Lariat. That's how we get to the close here.
Okay.
I thought that commentary. Commentary was trying to say this a little bit. But I don't think they did a good enough job on
Okay. that. No, yeah, it's good. My bookend is the beginning of the match. I thought Adam Page needed to be a little bit more, this is a fight, I'm going after this guy, as opposed to unsure of himself wrestler. This is a blood feud at this point. He's kicked the face in of three of your friends. Get in there with a sense of purpose and go fight this guy and punch him in the face. Now, I like the lead up into stomping him in the face. That was a good enough spot. But the beginning of this match where, oh, he's uncertain. Oh, he's in his head.
The problem with the stopping as comeuppance spot is that, to your point, none of the rest of the match was really about Paige. Yes. Finally getting his hands on that. Yes. Slimy little weasel, Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
And again, I guess going back to my point here, all the dillying and dallying at the beginning of the match, it should have dawned on Danielson at the 55-minute mark that maybe if I hadn't been dillying and dallying so much. Yeah. At the beginning of the match, that I wouldn't be in this situation right now where I still don't have this guy worn down enough.
I would have been hoisted on my own petard, so to speak. Yeah. Do you have another quibble?
No, that's it. Okay. That's all I got.
I have one and a half. The half one, people complaining. Look, I appreciate AEW teaching you guys that time limits matter and that time limit draws will sometimes occur. Get used to it. Get used to not having the 5-minute bonus period of Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, okay? It's fine if it's a tie. It's fine.
You don't do a 5 minute extra period unless you want finality and go with the flow here. I just think there are so many different cues that say that they didn't want finality. So if they went five more minutes, the only thing that should have happened in that five more minutes is that also should have been a draw to sort of say, no, this is a true stalemate.
Chris, we live in a civilized society. I know you might argue that at times, but you would
that's descending to barbarism, especially in my state.
Chris, we have put a man on the moon. We are almost at the
some break. Would say some would say
the other show did this too to me. No, we put a guy on the moon. It was not filmed on a soundstage. I will not put up with this nonsense from you people who want to troll me on this. We almost have self-driving cars. We have the entire knowledge of the world in our fingertips through our smartphones. Chris, why can't we have some sort of innovation in the world of professional wrestling television where we don't have to have commercial breaks during a pay-per-view level match? Can we not do the soccer type of sponsorship where we have the entire half plus injury time and we just have a consistent sponsor for this hour or whatever? Can we do maybe advertising on the ring aprons or in the ring or on the clock or something where we don't have to break away from a pay-per-view level match like this, like blood and guts, and ruin the entire momentum flow of our television watching experience of a sublime match such as this?
So I'll push back modestly on some of this. I think some of these spots were done fairly well. I think to your broader point, AEW's usage of picture-in-picture is atrocious. And like every time they go to, you won't miss a moment in picture-in-picture, I can't pay attention in picture-in-picture.
I don't either.
I try.
Because I don't have commentary. I don't have commentary.
No, it creates that cognitive dissonance thing, yes. Right? Where it's like, State Farm, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like trying to watch something on TV, but I'm getting bombarded with State Farm stuff. And
or
the thing
Geico
I'm trying,
or
whatever it is,
Liberty Mutual or Little Caesars,
Coca-Cola, doesn't matter. Whatever it is completely overriding my ocular ability to take in what's happening on the TV, and the loss of the crowd, the loss of the commentary sucks you so far out of the match. Give them the freaking commercial break. Just give them the break then. I'd rather not go through this farce of you're not missing a second than and have AEW understand when they are disrupting the match rather than them internally think and actually believe that you aren't missing a second with this convention, because this convention absolutely sucks people out of the match.
Let me stay on Dynamite for my point here. I thought there was another miscue a little bit on commentary later in the night. I like Taz on commentary. I like this three-person booth with Tony and Excalibur. Don't get me wrong. They had a bit of an off night, but I liked them overall. Taz on Dynamite needs to be heel Taz, not wacky, funny, trying to pop Excalibur Taz that you get on the AEW Dark show. It's fine on Dark. It's not fine here. That said, when we were doing the retrospective of Hook's debut, we missed an acting moment that had to happen here to maintain wrestling consistency. Tony Schiavone is our David Crockett. He's our Lance Russell. He's our Bob Caudle. He is the voice of the audience. You cannot be congratulating Taz for the great job that Hook did. Why? Because Hook is a heel. You had to. You can give begrudging respect, but you have to turn to Taz and go, why did you raise such a prick of a kid? Just to have that moment, I think. You are nodding your head and you are disagreeing with me.
Hawkins, this is your worst take.
I've had plenty of bad ones. This is a strong statement by you. Please go for it. Tell me why I'm wrong.
If Tony Schiavone is the voice of the fans. The fans have spoken, and the fans love Hook.
The fans love Hook in the ironic way where it was like, oh, he should be world champion in 3 weeks. And oh, his hair, it's, he's so dreamy. And, you know, and these are
Hawkins,
guys with
it's always about the hair with you. So, yeah, you know, table the hair. Hook has been sent.
Great. Hook was great.
Right. He is great. He actually has a solid gimmick. Now,
yes.
He shouldn't be champion in 3 weeks, but should he actually be someone who is part of not the pillars anymore, the columns of AEW? I think that's in the serious conversation. He should be certainly moved into one of the columns here. This guy's a legitimate dude. And I think that he is miscast right now as a heel. But yes.
No, he's a perfect heel. He's a jerk on screen.
People like this. Here's the thing. People like him. Doesn't matter.
You're so wrong.
I'm not wrong. People love Hook.
He's got
a baby faces theme song. It's unbelievably catchy. That video package, by the way, is a babyface badass package. That is not a heel, oh, he's such a horrible guy package.
He turned his back to his opponent in disrespect. That's a pure heel.
Yeah, right. No, okay, you're right. Fuego's a goober. Okay, so if you want to critique it for, they've made Fuego del Sol this guy who had like a car and this whole like Sammy Guevara storyline and we're supposed to like love him and stuff. They made him the sacrificial lamb to Hook. Okay, that's a fair criticism, but we're talking about Hook here. You know, sometimes when you want to make a Hook omelet, you've got to break a few Fuego del Sol eggs, and that's okay.
I'm fine with all that. My point is that Tony should have turned to Taz and said, your kid has a bad attitude. I thought you were raising kids with the honor of martial arts, blah, 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 blah.
You're wrong. Tony should have turned to Taz and said, I wish my children had grown up like yours.
Well, he has a kid in the AEW. He has a kid in the Nightmare Factory.
I hope he grows up to be like your son.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe you're so wrong on this. This is
no, I'm not.
Take.
I is not my. This is,
I might fire
honestly,
you
one of my stronger takes. I bet you for once the people like me.
Oh, geez. Okay. What's your next Lazy River thing?
I did the Danielson thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I went to another part of Dynamite. If you want to go to another part of
okay,
Dynamite.
Okay, you know what? Let's go to another part of Dynamite. Deeb and Hikaru Shida had yet another great little match.
They're so good together.
They are so good together. Fun finish. Deeb's sell off of the turnbuckle was like great.
I had to be sold on the finish though, because I was like, well, I kind of wanted something more pay-per-view, but this is fine for a television match.
No, it's fine for television match, and I also like that Deeb is still sort of like learning how to be a heel, and so she's going to make mistakes and that sort of thing, and in this case, the turnbuckle blew up in her face because she's still relatively new to this whole take off the turnbuckle to win matches gimmick.
That was a hell of a spot, though, the neck breaker in between, the where they took off that pad that's in between the turnbuckle and the post. I thought that was ingenious. Yeah, these two are great together. I love them. They can wrestle forever, and I would not mind.
And what a nice follow-up to Danielson and Paige in a way that, like, and I mean this in the absolute best way, it was, like, the perfect down ramp, but like you, because you can't go higher than a world title match.
But it wasn't
you
a cool off spot.
It wasn't a cool off. Yeah, right. That to me is like the highest compliment because it's so hard to do that. And this match, I had to take a little break after watching Danielson and Paige because I did that all in one sitting, and then I came back around. No, this match was great. What a great match this was.
And I thought the MJF match to. Was good as well. I mean,
yeah, you know, that was nice. All the matches,
it was a perfectly fun 2 hours of TV to watch, and you go, okay, major angles happen, major things happen on this show, and I did not waste my time watching any of it. There was nothing really, there was no filler.
No, I mean, this to me,
it was meaty.
Yeah, and this is the best of AEW for me.
I will, I'll make another aside on AEW, because I, instead of watching NXT, I watched AEW Dark. Marina Shafir now in the doing some promo spots in the company, or at least she's doing the mechanic gimmick. She had a short match with Chris Statlander, but there's something there, I think. Her actual she's number one, she's taller than you'd think, and number two, her actual MMA skills really came out in this little match of hers. It wasn't very long, but they want to pursue something. Fight a Fight and Play has a little something. Also, of good news to me and my personal things, look, I haven't watched a lot of Ring of Honor, but I've watched some. Prince Nana, head of the embassy, making his debut as a manager in AEW. I loved it. I love having actual managers as opposed to necessarily legends, so to speak. I think if they bring him in, he'd be a great addition to, say, somebody like an Andrade, if Jose the assistant, who is underrated in terms of how much he adds to that act. But as a spokesperson for him, I like Prince Nana better than Vicky Guerrero. I like him a little bit better than Arn Anderson as a manager. I definitely like him a little bit better as Jake Roberts as a spokesperson. There are people there that you can replace other than Tully Blanchard for me. So I thought that was a lot of fun. It was good to see him back in professional wrestling, because he hasn't been for a number of years.
All right. My next lazy river item here. Hawkins didn't watch NXT, but I'm committed to the people and to journalism, generally speaking.
Just
so
didn't have time.
Whatever. I made time. I popped on NXT and I fell asleep for large chunks of it. So and
oh, I'm a man of the people. I watch NXT. Fell asleep through most.
And people, I am here to talk about what I was awake for.
Oh my god.
Let me see here. I did watch the ridiculous hair thing of Duke Hudson and Cameron Grimes. That was probably what put me to sleep. I saw Duke Hudson was wearing some stupid hair thing or hat thing, and I couldn't care. So I passed out. Where I rejoined the show here was with Tony D'Angelo versus Andre Chase. And at this point, what really dawned on me as I continue to watch the show is like how the audience that's there, WWE has finally made their ideal audience, in that they just cheer bloodlessly for everything at this sort of like base level thing. And
they're cheering for the guys. This is awesome.
Everybody. Yeah. And where this really kicked in for me was when we got to Bron Breakker versus Roderick Strong here, where like there were like two or three different chants where it's like, we're cheering for Roddy, we're cheering for Braun. I think there might have been like just like an NXT sort of thing. And my last thought on NXT 2.0 is seeing the 2.0 on the logo has really made me like think, God, this is absolutely the kiss of death. It's like, this is the poochification of the brand, because there's never a time where something gets rebranded to the 2.0 sort of thing and like that's where it really takes off, like
except for
doing
Matt Hardy 2.0.
I'd actually argue that Matt Hardy version 2 or whatever, well, he had a nice little run off that, but like honestly it was better once he was broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I think that was probably the bigger rejuvenation, but anyways, that being, you know, a deep discussion about a joke, I just think the 2.0, going back to NXT, is going to get canceled. You look at that 2.0 and it basically says canceled in parenthetical letters underneath it.
What's more poochy, that or hey kids, did you know MSK smokes weed?
Yeah. Like, it's the last ditch effort to make them cool. It's like, oh, they're the cool stoners. And like these are the stoner guys like I would not want to hang out with. Like, these are the dudes who like want to do all the like boring stereotypical stuff because like they just discovered the head shop for the first time like a month and a half ago.
Chris wants to read Dostoevsky with him. It's like, they're not interested in that.
No, like Marcus Aurelius, though.
Marcus Aurelius is good. I like a little stoicism. Sure. Yeah. Why not? just one other note on the NXT, actually two. Tony D'Angelo, very good for having, I think, less than 15 matches under his belt.
Yeah, I was still waking up during this
still
match.
Green as hell, but you know.
I'm just like, I like on as much as you can like anything on this show. I like Andre Chase. I don't know what to make of him.
I
don't know what to make of this gimmick, but I like it. I guess
it's a death gimmick, but he's very good doing it. He's an acceptable guy that you just want to turn off the TV for, in the good way of being a heel.
You know, okay. Here's what Andre Chase's gimmick like ought to be. He's like the guy who's irrationally angry, but like for some reason we're all kind of rooting for him. like he's
that friend, like, that friend who always gets riled up and something. You're like,
he's not wrong. Like he's like handling it the wrong way, but he's not wrong. Like I there's something there with this Andre Chase gimmick, as ridiculous and as WWE as it is.
You have that friend who thinks he's living in a Greek tragedy, and oh, the fates have screwed me. Oh, and you're like, yeah, they kind of have, but at the same time, you kind of could do more to help your situation, but you're still kind of rooting for him. Yeah, I can see that. That's a good thing. Over at NXT UK, which I also skipped this week, we have new tag champions. Mustache Mountain over there are the tag champs. I get the feeling that Pretty Deadly is coming over, maybe hopefully for a run. I hope. I think it would be nice to see if they could hang.
It's also really funny that, like, they just completely diffused all of the heat from the Trent Seven costing Tyler Bate the cup thing. Like, Trent Seven goes,
I don't know if they have or not. I just it looked like they had.
No, I get they did. Well, I mean, I guess you could have like lingering issues and Bate like turns heel on Seven or something eventually. If anyone's still watching, if the show makes it that long, but like, the whole storyline normally would be like Trent Seven cost Bate the Heritage Cup in that match, inadvertently, albeit. Then Seven proposes, hey, let's go and get the tag teams and get our mojo back. But he hasn't actually fully smoothed over the residual issues with Tyler Bate. They lose the match and, you know, pretty, you know, like that. Normally the story would be that. It's just, it's all the more of a justification as to why I don't really need to watch this show. They don't want to make anything interesting.
Chris, since we don't have SmackDown to pick on, I'll pick on Raw a little bit. Who is the strongest babyface this week on Raw?
Lashley.
Yes, that's exactly
Lashley.
Exactly correct. Bobby Lashley, who is a heel, was the strongest babyface, and this goes into WWE panicking over low ratings, in my opinion, and panicking in low attendance. That we don't have quote unquote real stars, which kind of makes the Owens thing interesting in some ways, because Owens isn't going to be that guy. But yes, let us now take a look at the results of this week's Monday Night Raw. Riddle, babyface, lost. His partner, Orton, babyface, laid out afterwards. Bianca Belair, babyface, won her match but was laid out afterwards. Liv Morgan, babyface, started a fight but got beat up and laid out. Finn Balor, babyface, lost by distraction before getting embarrassed post-match. Rhea Ripley, babyface, lost by distraction after her partner, Nikki A.S.H., babyface, failed to help her.
And this just death gimmick.
Edge, babyface, laid out. Big E, babyface, and your champion, lost to someone who had already wrestled twice. Bobby Lashley, heel, won three different singles matches, including the match over Big E, and was added to the WWE Championship on day one, and also beat your top two contenders for your title. Who were heels? Bobby Lashley, the only guy who came out of Raw looking good. And they wonder why people are turning this off. Who do you root for out of any of these geeks are just on your screen.
I mean, let's take this a little deeper. Out of all the people that we have on Monday Night Raw right now, who is, let's call them the show saver? It's not going to be Riddle. Riddle is what he is. Randy Orton is interesting. Let's kind of put him to the side. I guess, you know, he's interesting. You could push Randy and maybe, you know, at least stabilize things, maybe.
Can I say who I think it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or who I think they think it is?
Who do you think? Veer Mahan.
Almost.
right now it's almost Veer. The way they're pushing this Veer Mahan.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Rude or Ziggler. Damian Priest, I like him. They could do more with him. Finn Balor, they've made into a clown. The Clown Prince. Yes. Clown Prince Devitt over there. And then we've got Rhea Ripley, who should be white hot. This is the malpractice with Rhea Ripley.
Oh my goodness.
It's like legendary levels of malpractice with this wonderfully talented performer who has a fantastic look, can obviously go in the ring. This Nikki and Nikki Cross, same thing. Like, this Nikki ASH thing is stupid as hell. And Nikki Cross was someone in the Nikki Cross character who had shown with some degree of durability that she can be really over with these WWE fans and wrestling
until
fans.
Until they made her look stupid and they started booing her.
Yeah.
You brought up the ballad. Like, I want him to come out now and pretend it's the demon's back. But he comes up as the clown makeup. And
he comes out as it. Ring. Yeah, it.
Honk, honk.
He's Pennywise.
He's the clown prince. The clown prince of WWE is back, everybody. No, they screwed up Priest too, to your point, because they were trying to give him that heelish edge, and now they've decided to kind of flip him back.
Yep.
I just...
Seth Rollins, we've seen what Seth Rollins is and we've seen what Seth Rollins isn't at this point. He's
a second tier villain.
Yep. He's the Riddler. And the Riddler's maybe my favorite Batman character, so I sort of say that with some love here, but like, he's the Riddler. Like, he's not the top level villain.
Yeah, neither is Owens, and Big E is your champ. What are you doing?
And Big E. So then we get to Big E. This should be the guy. Not for any other reason, at least for starters here, is that he's the world champion. But, like, he's also charismatic, even though you've had him doing the over-the-top thing for a while. You could have him tone that down. You could have him go to new places. Tonally speaking, I think he'd surprise a lot of people with that. And this guy could be carrying the show. But I saw a tweet this week. I see four or five of them in a week, Hawkins. And this one, like, it was about something else. And it was referencing Triple H doing 30 or 40 minute promos. And I'm not saying Big E needs to be doing 30 or 40 minute promos, but it would do something for Big E if he could have 10, 15 minutes to really connect with fans in some of these venues. And WWE's not going to do that. So, like, yeah, no, your ratings are going to go down, because why am I tuning in? I don't care about any of these people on the show. Why would I?
I'm going to push back. I don't want a 10-minute promo from Big E. I want an angry promo that I believe that he's mad he lost this match, and not just the WWE version of angry. I want him to connect with me. I want him to connect with me like a late stage Dusty in some ways, because he has that ability. He can talk to people. He knows how to talk in ways that this clunky dialogue that he gets all the time can do. But instead,
he needs to be
jokes.
He needs to not be speaking in scripts. Yes. I mean, Big E needs, which I know this is WWE, and I get that doesn't happen. But what he does need to be filling time. I disagree with you is that the world champion is your world champion. The world champion needs to be filling multiple segments on a show. He needs to be carrying dialogue throughout the night, in hour one, in hour two, in hour three. He doesn't need to be doing 40 minutes like a marathon like Triple H just to really get that first hour down pat. But he does maybe need to be doing 30 minutes over the span of 3 hours, where he does 10 minutes in the first hour, 10 minutes in the second hour, 10 minutes in the third hour.
I know we've given it to Bobby Lashley, but maybe a promo in a suit with the title you know, make him seem like a big deal.
Why not? Why not? Why can't he wear a suit too? Why can't him wearing a suit be one of the things that pisses off Bobby Lashley?
Yes, hey, that's my gimmick.
Right. No, I mean, seriously. No, like, have MVP and Bobby Lashley come out there and basically say, like, you act like you're trying to be in the Hurt Business. You're like, you're being an imposter to the throne. And Big E's basically like, I'm just trying to carry myself like a champion.
Do they even know who's in the Hurt Business anymore? Because it's, I thought they had written back in Shelton and Cedric. Apparently not.
Yeah, it's Psicosis and El Dandy, I think, are the other two members of the Hurt Business.
Who are we to doubt El Dandy?
Yeah.
That's all I got for my Lazy River. You got anything else?
No. No.
No. So we will close up the Lazy River for the holidays. Follow me at Crap Game 13 and follow Chris at DWATG and just follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. We will do a show in some form next week. May not be us live, but something will be released in audio form because all other podcasts seem to take the week off. And we know you need something to listen to if you're, you know, stuck at your relative's house or something to that effect. Thank you again to my bookie. Use code ROPES, get double your deposit up to $1,000. Chris has a Patreon in which he talks politics. I'm sure COVID's going to be a hot topic this week.
Actually, I think this next episode's going to be about donors.
Okay.
And, and a lot about like insider stock trading and that sort of thing. So,
Nancy Pelosi's statement about
And about the broader political classes interplay with the donors, that sort of thing. You can check that out over at patreon.com/DWATG. The most recent episode covered the abortion debate that is, of course, roiling the country. So if we're not straying away from the hot button issues, you can subscribe to that on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. And again, patreon.com/DWATG. Shows at DWATG on Twitter.
0.95%.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.